Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third hour, the very first third hour of Vinnie Eastwood show history, which is good because it spanned, and I started the show back in 2010, and we're now moseying on into 2014, and I've wanted to do a third hour for the last probably 18 months, and the studio was simply unable to find a slot suitable. And conveniently now, I am self-published onto the website, so I don't have to follow anybody else's frickin' rules or schedules, and that's just dandy. Now, my very special guests, just a reminder for those of you who might just be joining us now, and if you're only just joining us now, I don't know what is wrong with you, because you can't miss those first 2 hours. Thunder, the advanced quantum mechanics physicist, no joke, son. And Brad Molnar, the modern health coach. Welcome back, boys.
Thank you.
Appreciate the bonus round.
Now, as a douchebag radio host, normally I lead off and ask a question and or a statement and what have you, and attempt to lead the conversation somewhere. I'd like to give you that opportunity. Is there anything that's on your mind, something you'd like to say?
I'd like to give shout-outs to my loved ones. I just got off a phone call here with my, a very good friend and a friend of yours, and he told me to say hello, Mr. Sean David Martin.
Ah, yes. Sean.
And, he just called and said, hey, we got some Disney passes out here. Love to take you and your daughter out to Disney again. This is the kind of guy that, awesome. You spend time with his wife and my children at Disneyland. That's friendship, you know. And I love Sean dearly for his fortitude, what his conviction, and what he goes out there and does every day. I respect. I'd love to give a shout out.
For those who are unaware, Sean David Morton, you can listen to his show on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Just wanted to give a plug for him there. Sorry,
please.
Continue.
Love Sean. I'd like to give a warm love and respect to my art department. I have an art department that is a freelance artist. His name happens to be Lance. And
but he's not free, incidentally.
He's a barter. He's awesome. Lance also. He's an artist with some of the great mathematicians and scientists in the world. He's found a unique niche. Guys like myself, we didn't do very well in art class. I didn't do very well in English class, but I did pretty good in math and science. So art department is very instrumental in tying me with some of the great minds. Marco Roden, love him greatly. Vortex-based mathematics. We've sat down, had some wonderful intellectual conversations, and we concur on so many things. If I look back in my life, there's so many people I can't. Smartass Mendez. If you don't know Smartass, friend this guy at Holotech Chat. He's started a little case study on his own out there in the east part of the United States. folks that have used my technology and exchanged their results in a very open floor format. We've done some great things here recently with Lyme disease. Brad and I here, we worked on a program here recently with over
235 codes for Lyme disease.
For Lyme disease.
You got to get the egg, the larva, the adult, the pupa, all different stages, all different frequencies, all in one hologram. Lyme away.
Lyme away. Great name.
Does it like, also manage to prevent British sailors from coming anywhere near you?
Limeys. haven't got that code yet. That's behind the
I'm working on that.
it's just like it reminds me of that scene in A Bug's Life where there's you know those bug zappers that you have out on your porch in those mosquito ridden areas of the States or what have you, and they just get zapped. It's like, Jimmy, don't do it. I can't help it. It's so beautiful. And I'd love something like that, you know, if I had like a politician zapper or something that they were uncontrollably drawn to me, and at the moment that they touched me or talked to me, they dropped dead electrocuted. That would be fantastic.
Weapon. I'd like to thank EpicEnergyNow.com for their wonderful video work that they've done. I had a chance to tour. Here's a great man I respect. His name is Jay Rogers. He is a company called Local Motors, and they're in Chandler, Arizona. Phoenix. They are near Phoenix, yes. They are the builder of the most beautiful car in the world. It is called a Rally Fighter. And we had a chance to tour the plant. They have a open, it's called the Local Motors Labs, where local people can, well, first off, they hire locally, they employ locally, and they're drop shipping a micro manufacturing plants throughout the world. And we deeply love and respect what John Rogers, Jay, has done. And think of this, he's got a Hummer with a Corvette engine and a two-seater that kind of looks like a futuristic Camaro body. You've seen trophy trucks out there. This is a trophy car. And if we can, the first manufacturer out there in the world, because we only have three here in the United States, if you take a look at the way the cars are built, Ford, General Motors, and that, they have the half of the factory is the paint department, very toxic area. They replaced the paint department with a laptop, and they simply shrink wrapped the car. And the car was built by online voting, what people like, and you know I like that format. So watching the video there, you can get yourself a PhD in micromanagement without the cost and time going to school.
Mm.
And companies like this, I embrace. You know, I think the world, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but China has 2,500 new car companies that popped up last year.
Last year?
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
I saw the cars while I was at the California Environmental Engineering Lab getting my product tested. And I walk into this room where there's, my gosh, there must have been about 1,500 cars. And I didn't recognize any of them. Some of them were being sold for around $6,000 to $8,000 brand new. And they were micro-manufactured. So,
but they got holograms on them. That's the point.
Yeah, with Rally, yeah.
Yeah, with Rally.
So with Rally, you know, that's our first company. And look, I got an L3 Corvette engine that blows zero emissions. Now I got the upper hand when I walk into Detroit and say, you know, you don't even guys have a four-cylinder that blows emissions like your high-performance Corvette crate motor that left this factory. Do you care to explain why not? So, you know, soon the bandwagon will will erupt. We're looking for any manufacturer out there who wants to stop pollution. You know, get a hold of us. We're here to stop pollution.
You are the pollution solution. Literally.
Pollution solution, period.
It's not dilution.
Hey, in fact, there's a good company name or website name, pollutionsolutions.com.
That is a good name. Yeah, let's check that out on GoDaddy after the show.
Well, make sure you type it down somewhere so we don't forget, because I find whenever you're having really interesting, intense conversations with people, there'll be so many great things. Oh, but then again, it's recorded.
He said forget? No.
you don't forget. You don't forget. I forgot. I forgot that you don't forget.
There are some things that I forget. I forget how to grow old. I forgot how to get sick. Yeah. I forgot a lot of things that a lot of people don't.
To pay your taxes.
Yeah. It just slipped my mind these last 17 years, you know?
I'd like to give a shout out to one of my besties. His name is Mario, and sad to say, he lost after I think 19 years. He lost his kitty cat this week. That cat has been on my system after it. It had a very bad accident where they put rods and stuff in its leg. It was just so sad to see the cat. That was about a decade ago. The cat died at 19 years of age, so I know that was his best friend. You know, it's his pet. Me and Mario worked very instrumental in pioneering a lot of this work a decade ago, and our next step is to broadcast them in video gaming, like I mentioned, and in the film industry.
It's interesting you should say that, the video gaming. Have you ever played what was it, Grand Theft Auto Vice City? They have these little dialogues, that kind of thing, about the cat. The guy's name's Mario, and when you're walking around one of the big mafia kind of mansions, I think they have all these gangsters walking around. They say little lines of dialogue and stuff. One of them is, "Forget about it, Mario."
Well, they give props to their teacher, I'm sure, down there at
Oh, I know how painful it can be to actually lose a cat, and my most traumatic experience in that case was I think about 5 years ago when I was just starting doing this, and was really, really unable to support myself financially speaking. Our cat got really, really, really badly sick, you know, like couldn't eat, couldn't drink, couldn't move. He was dying, and he was suffering, and we couldn't even afford to take him to the vet to put him down humanely. I had to kill him myself. My boy that I loved really intensely, I had to break his neck with my own hands, and it actually really destroyed me.
Tap it out with EFT, emotional freedom techniques. Even though I killed my cat, I deeply completely love and accept myself, while you tap on the ends of your TCM spots. That can help. Yeah. That's pretty brutal, but you did it for his best, and he's in a better, as they say, place.
Yeah.
I know a case where I was called. I'm not going to drop names here because, it's not necessary. But I will say that there was a very prominent dentist in the Beverly Hills area, and her husband is he's a very well-known and respected director in Hollywood. And their daughter called and said that their dog was being treated with chemotherapy, and the dog wasn't doing very well.
Mistreated, yeah.
So I went over there. I dropped some holograms in the little bed that the dog was sitting in. And moments later, the dog got up, was walking, wagging its tail. And within about 45 minutes, I actually watched the tumor shrink on its belly. The next day, I got a call where the daughter was upset. In the middle of the night, the parents called the veterinarian to put the dog down. I was troubled by that, but I understood why they did it. And as a medical dentist doctor and a well-known Hollywood director, if it got out there that stuff like this, unconventional alternative therapy worked, they could possibly be blackballed from, you know, their industries. So they really had no choice. And that was the real first wake-up call that I saw, where you're embarrassed. And the only thing that you can do is to cover the embarrassment. That's why I'm not dropping names, but you people know who you are. And if you ever listen to this, I want you to ponder that day when I went out there to help. I only did one thing, and I only had one thing on my mind, was to make the family pet loving again. That was a little too much for them to handle, and I understand their decisions. I've seen it all, bro. I think Axl Rose said it best in a song, Paradise City. What? Are you blind? I've seen it all a million times. Well, that is Axl Rose now, so you must be blind if you don't think this guy hasn't seen it. So, I think the world has awoken. It was a long, dark night, but daybreak is here, and I'm not going away. Brad's not going anyplace either. You can listen to Dr. Oz, Ozzy. You can listen to Dr. Ozzy. He sits in an office. Or you can listen to your coach.
And he has shares in pharmaceutical companies that promote vaccines that he and his wife on a smaller network admitted they never give their children.
Oh. Well, you know, he's got his hands tied, but, you know, a coach is out there on the field, and he knows his players, and that's what Brad is doing. I selected Modern Health Coach as one of the companies that will handle my technology out of integrity. Brad's been out there in the field, walking up and down the aisles of Conscious Life Expos, Health Freedom Expos, the alternative cutting on-floor trade shows. Like myself, I've been out there at these places and meeting people coming by. And I met Brad, and you know, Brad's like, "Hey, Thunder, I've been using your stuff for years, bro. I'm finally glad to get to meet you." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Really? Huh. What else do you do?" And he shows me his line of frequency devices, his knowledge and understanding in health and nutrition. And I go, "Congratulations, you earned. You earned, without the 1,000,005 license agreement to do business with me, you've earned the right to carry my product line."
Mm.
So it's about, you know.
Well, can I explain? I was just thinking about something as you said there. The definition of a good man and what compels and restrains him. Three things. Honor. Integrity.
Integrity.
And moral obligation.
There you go.
Moral or obligation.
You know,
I like that. I feel that this technology has been bestowed on me as a moral obligation for me to go out there and share. I'm not, you know what? Apparently, I'm not into it for the money. Otherwise, I would have took the $80 million from Mitsubishi a decade ago.
Yeah.
I can't buy a 747 with $80 million. And I think cleaning up the world's pollution comes with a moral responsibility that I'm not sure Mitsubishi, who builds every engine in the world, if they only build 10% of all the cars in the world, then we only reduce 10% of the pollution. You know, I don't want my grandkids pissing on my grave 50 years from now because, you know, granddad's sold out and we don't have any oxygen. So I love my kids. I have five beautiful, wonderful, healthy kids who have never been vaccinated, by the way. I was one of the pioneers out there when my kids wanted to attend public schools, the doctors, you know, you have to have your kids vaccinated.
More like they've been indoctrinated.
Yeah, exactly. I sat down with the doctor and I told her, I go, well, why do I not want my kids vaccinated? Because I do not trust the pharmaceutical companies and what they're putting into the vaccine. I've done enough homework that I regret my parents vaccinating me. And, you know, if there's something wrong with my kids, you know what? I'll find the solution for it and fix them. I trust my medical research much better than my medical training that could have been done if I went to school as a doctor.
That's sick care.
Sick care, yeah. And doing your rounds with...
Have you noticed how doctors don't actually care for their patients? They care for the sickness their patients have.
Yeah, it's sick care. It's crazy. My brother actually works in hospital administration. He does labor to bed ratios. He maximizes the nurses' profitability, how much they can stretch out a nurse and run them frazzled, and how many beds and how long you can keep them in the hospital, and how much you can milk them, you know, cash-wise before they die. Most of the costs are in the last year of your life.
They've turned human suffering into a business.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny, that's my brother, God love him, but we're on opposite ends of the battlefield here. And like Thunder was alluding to, you know, the coach is on the field with the new playbook, all right? The doctor's got a played-out playbook. It ain't going to get you 1 yard from scrimmage. I've got the playbook that I've reinvented and reconfigured here that gets results, man. You cannot get sick or cancer if your blood is slightly alkaline. You know, Otto Warburg, Nobel Peace Prize, 1953. That's that. No one's telling you that little dirty secret. You know, alkaline, oxygenated, and voltage. You know, the higher your pH is, the more voltage you can hold. The more voltage you can hold, the more dissolved oxygen you can hold. That's the key to health, not protein, carbs, and fat. pH, voltage, and DO. So if you can eat the greens, get the minerals, every disease can be traced back to a mineral shortage. And when a plant doesn't have all the minerals, it attracts pests. When you don't have the minerals, you attract pests.
Well, does that mean, I think that our society is mineral deficient and that attracts pests, like politicians. You know, polytics, poly meaning many, ticks meaning a blood-sucking insect that puts its entire head beneath your skin and sucks 900% of its own body weight in your blood and then gives you Lyme's disease and then buggers off.
Good. It's in the language. Think about it for a second. It's built in, and the language is powerful. When you use these words, you got to check it to wreck it. Make sure you're aligned with what you want to be, or you will become what you say.
Mm-mm.
It's that easy. You know, believe, behave, become.
Yeah.
So, you become what you say, I say.
I have a Latino daughter, by the way.
My bad.
I got a Latino child. I have 3 Native American children, and I have a white child. So you know what? I'm looking for an Asian, maybe a black. And,
global domination.
You're gonna be like in the Big Lebowski. You know how he walks in, and he goes, "These are Mr. Lebowski's children," and they're like all these inner city youth and whatever. And he goes, "Wow, different mothers, huh? He, racially, he's pretty cool." And he's like, "No, they're not literally his children."
I'm trying to run for UN, so apparently I'm not prejudiced. So,
not prejudiced enough for the UN.
Yeah, no, I don't want the job there either. But I'd do a good job if I was there. I pretty much clean house and tell people how it is. And I have a speech prepared for Congress. I do expect to, you know, stand in front of Congress someday. My speech goes similar to this. According to our accountants, apparently I owe you some $700 billion or a ridiculous fee. Before I give that to you, would you take 10 minutes of your busy day? I got some words of advice where I think the money should be spent. Give it back to me. Leave me the flip alone. You guys would piss it off on some military exercise and blow up an island somewhere. Me? I just give it over to education where it belongs. Let's overhaul the kids and let's get them to
Preferably not the current public education system, because as far as I know, in terms of increasing intelligence and awareness of the world, it's doing the exact opposite.
Right. When a kid's creativity is peaking by five, when they go into school, it drops like a sheep off the cliff.
Mm. Well, my friend Mike, he showed me a video by Sir Ken Robertson, and he quoted Picasso. All children are born artists. The trick is to remain an artist as you grow older.
Yes, exactly. Creativity. It's very good. Stop learning and stop thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I find that very interesting. Is I've had arguments with people who are fresh graduates from university, and what's funny is that they've just become educated, they've just gotten their diploma, and they think that their learning is over.
Now, well, they're smart enough to punch a time clock, dumb enough to question authority.
Mm.
That's what they want. You know, make the little widget, but don't question when they say your microwave's safe for you. Don't even question that. Just keep making the little widget and everything's cool. It's not, man. It's a racket.
Yeah, yeah. It's a scam. And what I find interesting is that there was a great documentary made that featured the college conspiracy. It was called, and it featured Gerald Celente. And
I like him.
I got to interview him for 15 minutes. It was like some of the best 15 minutes in my life, apart from this interview here, of course. And he said in this documentary that he looks for employees, not employees that have qualifications or a standing in the community or job history or whatever. He's only looking for one thing: strip mining, like we strip mine the earth for minerals, right?
Yeah.
Passion.
Passion.
It's the only thing that's actually valuable in an employee, because a passionate employee doesn't care how much he's being paid, doesn't care how many hours he's working, because he's passionate. He loves it. He does it. He breathes it. He lives it.
Well, we're passionate about what we're doing, and we're self-employed, thank God, because we couldn't do what we're doing in the widget world. You know, our passion is what fuels us. We get up in the morning psyched to create a new frequency or to talk to some new people and share it and then see their reaction. We get off when we see your facial reaction, when you go, oh, my God, it actually works. My exhaust smells like a dryer. WTF, no way. Yeah, for real. It is real, and that's our passion, is seeing – I get off and I see their face lit up after they just had an aha moment.
Oh, I love it.
You know, that's the payday to change lives. Because I know when I was turned on to these things, when I was looking hard, high, low, and deep, it gave me hope. It gave me a sense of like, wow, there is a solution to this problem, X, Y, or Z. It's out there. You got to turn them stones over. If you don't turn the stones over, you ain't going to find it, you know?
I can totally relate to that. I get messages from listeners every now and again saying those exact things, you know, you gave me hope, or I was going to commit suicide, and now I don't want to anymore because I'm enjoying your show. You know, these kind of things. I found that when you are changing other people's lives, it changes you, and never for the worse.
No, it just galvanizes your passion.
Yeah.
After you get the positive feedback, like, great, I broke through. Like, I talked to my cousin today. She had an ovarian cyst on her insides, and doctors didn't give her hope. She listened to me, and it's gone. And she thanked me today and asked me, what else can I do? And I was happy to talk to her and give her the guidance, but she listened. A lot of people you were talking earlier think they know it all. The people that think they know it all don't know shit, and the people that don't think they know anything are the ones that you can teach and the ones that are open to it.
You cured your ovarian sister.
You got to squash the ego and know that there's more than just yourself. You know, the sum is more than the parts, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
All the parts together, you got a super duper sum. 1 + 1 = 11.
Well, and again, as I said earlier in the broadcast, community, you know, relationships more or less, are as vital to the human body as vitamin C, and we currently suffer from community scurvy.
True, and the true as can be, man. And
I have a fun thing I like to say. I like to say Chief Thunder believes in taking care of the tribe first.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Chief Sitting Bull?
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved his quote. What does he say? When the white man came, we would live with our families, The women would take care of the children. The men would go out fishing all day and then come home and make love to the women all night. Only the white man is stupid enough to think he can improve on that.
Well, technology's brought us somewhere, wow. But it's definitely leaving us hanging, you know? Like I said, our humanity, our technology has surpassed our humanity. And we had it good, and then we reformulated it, and we, you know...
Einstein said something like that. He said, when technology surpasses the human capacity to understand its implications, we will truly have a nation of morons.
There you go. Case in point. United States of America, United Corporations of America, is dumb as can be. The average United States citizen resonates at pride, 175 on the David Hawkins consciousness scale, 200 is courage, where you accept responsibility for your own actions. 500 is love and enlightenment, 700, 1,000. The least is shame at 20. You can calibrate this through kinesiology and muscle tests and see what you resonate at. The average American resonates at pride. My dad will beat up your dad. My God's better than your God. And pride.
No, that's funny. I remember when I was in primary school, elementary school, as you'd call it, somebody said, oh, my brother could beat up your brother. And I said to him, so let me get this straight. Somebody who isn't you could beat up somebody that isn't me. And you're using that as a threat. That's fucking stupid, man.
Right. International diplomacy.
I can relate. I recently had somebody tell me, you know, well, these guys, they're too big. They won't even talk to you, Thunder. And I go, well, how do you know?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear from them.
Yeah.
Because I think after I had a conversation sitting down with them, they're going to realize they're really not that big.
Yeah. Well, what you say can be shocking to people. That's why they call it the voice of thunder.
No.
Yay.
That's why Thunder and Light Team is it's going to take all of us. The thunder has hit the ground, not a lightning. And the ozone smell is in the air, so people are waking up. Little oxygenation to the brain never hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, just out there collecting my light team.
Yeah.
Light team. It sounds, thunderandlightteam.com is where you can find it. Our department is working on that, and it looks really beautiful. It's not finished, but, it's work in progress, and that's what we do. We are always work in progress 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah, and I think that's the antithesis to current American culture, where there's a hell of a lot of work, but no frickin' progress.
We don't make anything. We just move money around and call it job security. We don't make anything. The number one export out of the United States is entertainment. Number two is military. So we keep them pacified and keep everyone armed up.
The two official exports that are number one in the United States is scrap metal... and debt.
Okay. Well, wow.
Well, yeah, we do have a debt problem here.
We've got so much debt that we need to export it.
Take all our junk. We can't pay anything more. We're in debt. Take all our scrap metal.
The thing is, there used to be a thing in America called industry, which produced things.
Yeah.
Real, tangible things. Objects. Yeah. There was... an industrious nature among the people who were capable of creating and manufacturing devices of incredible quality that actually improved people's ability to even live life and to do things. It no longer exists. The America of yesteryear is gone, and I believe it can be brought back. I know some people think hate is a strong word. But I hate the mentality of some Americans who believe that their country is lost and lost forever and can never be back. It can never resurface. It can never experience a renaissance. Never, 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 never. These people have lost faith. And as Anthony Robbins, the motivational speaker, said, humanity, and particularly America itself, is suffering from a crisis of faith, not in God, not in their authorities, but in themselves.
Yeah. And I think Thomas Jefferson said, you have a right to a revolution. You know, that's your God-given right. And not to revolt, but just to reinvent our way of being and not be such mindless zombies going to the store and punching the time clock.
Mm. So the only profitable department inside the U.S. government is?
The CIA, with all the drugs that they ship in from Afghanistan. You know, I got you there!
You know what the second in the United States government is?
Shoot.
The Agriculture Department. Department of Agriculture, which, you know, pays for food stamps. That comes from the Department of Agriculture.
Hmm.
Our trading with other countries is what generates the revenue in stockpiling. Now, if I look at what GMOs are doing and what Russia and China is feeling about the way we're putting our GMOs, I consider this our biggest threat to World War III. It's GMOs. Now, if the government is making more profitability in one department, in agriculture, shouldn't agriculture be treated with the utmost respect?
Yes.
And research in agriculture and plants? I know, out there in the reverse engineering industries and fields and factories that I've toured over my lives, I've actually watched companies who have grants to come in and do research, find scientists that are discovering wonderful things. Then the project is scrapped. Well, why don't you guys use what you did for the research? Well, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to spend money and learn and research, but we're not supposed to come out with any solutions with it.
No.
Job security.
It's just job security.
This is true, and in fact, that reminds me of something I said about politicians a number of years ago. As I said, people think that a politician's job is to solve problems, and I said, no, their job is actually to create problems so that they can facilitate their continued employment.
It's almost like what David Icke says with the reaction solution.
They
create the problem, and then, I'll fix it, and then they put it more in debt or more... under the thumb.
Yeah, and they do it a little bit at a time, what David Icke calls the totalitarian tiptoe, which I thought was a brilliant term.
Yeah.
And it's alive and well, and,
Tales of the Time Loop, I believe was his book, about 03 when it came out. The Truth Will Set You Free, I'm sorry. Reading that, that was like what we talked about earlier, that was one of those confirmation points. You know, wow, these are things that I believe and others have written about it. Mm-hmm. I like this. Word has to get out.
Yeah.
There's other guys out there I don't spend a lot of time listening to. They've been infected. And an infection corrupts the brain to a point where your karma cash is soon going to be depleted. It's not going to be a pretty picture when it comes raining down when truth is, you know, unveiled.
Mm. Well, the truth just isn't pretty. I think that's one of the things that I've discovered in my life that I find is very sad.
You know, he tells the truth.
Pardon?
Brad's a good-looking guy. He tells the truth.
I know, but he's not the truth. He's Brad. The things that come out of his mouth are freaking ugly.
To some people.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like...
people don't want to believe the depths of depravity that our government and the people behind the shadow governments do. They don't want to believe that there's these agendas out there because it shatters their... waving their flag on the 4th of July with a hot dog and apple pie. It shatters that. And they don't want to pick up the pieces and reformulate like we've done. But, you know, you got to, it's like a Herximer. You got to get worse before you get better. You got to go through the healing crisis to get better. And people don't want to suffer a minute to get to a higher state of being. It's evolve or die.
Mm. I had a conversation about parenting with a guest the other day about this. And you need to let your children hurt themselves and learn and feel pain. And he said something very interesting to me. He says, "What was it? You know how they have in New Zealand? We call them plunket nurses. You register your child, and then they come around to your house and try and push vaccines on you and make sure your child's okay. And if they determine via their government mandate that you're not raising your child well enough, they kidnap them. Basically,
how convenient. Yeah.
Exactly. He had one of these people come into his house, and the child, 2 years old, opens the door and says, "Oh, hi. How are you doing? Come on in. Have a cup of tea." And they were like, "Whoa!" And this worker was blown away. And after doing their checks and asking their questions and ticking all their little boxes and what have you, she said, "You know, I could actually get fired for saying this, but what you people are doing is the future of parenting." Now, he never taught his child how to stand up to bullies or anything like that, like he does. It was just kind of like by osmosis. They were around at a friend's place in a bouncy castle, and there was one boy who was jumping on the other kids with his knees on their chest and making the other kids cry. And his daughter said, "Oi, stop doing that!" And the boy comes at him, and then she just pushes him down and kicks him off the castle. And he was so intensely proud at that moment that he recognized, and this is something Mark Passio talks about, is that children recognize natural law from birth. They recognize right from wrong without even being told what it is.
That's in the junk DNA, 97%. It's inherent. We already know. We're born. We just remember when we came to the birth canal, we already knew it before. Now it's like a blank slate. We got to relearn and remember what we knew from the infinite one source that we came, divine spark out of, you know, the canal. So we have to let that be. And you got to fall on your face to get back up and walk. And you can't always have it sugarcoated. And everyone likes to sugarcoat today. And then you're right. The truth is harsh.
Yeah. Well, I think suffering is necessary for growth. I'm 6'4". You're 6'4" as well, Thunder. Do you remember when you were a teenager, when you got these intense pains in your legs and everything like that? Those really painful growing pains.
I already knew what you were going to say. Yeah, they hurt. My daughter's going through it now. I. Those were the worst.
Yeah, it's extremely painful, and then after a while, it starts to go away, and you realize, I'm actually really tall and powerful now that I went through that.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what we got to do as a country. There's a lot of suffering going on. There's a lot of fat, broke, sick people out here that are misinformed and disinformed on purpose. And they're at a crossroads. Do, you know, listen to my doctor or listen to my coach, you know, or listen to my, you know, they're confused and they're going through this suffering in this learning curve. It's all about the learning curve. We're trying to help you get through the learning curve. It's not such a steep thing. We're trying to apex the corner, if you will. Yeah. You know, so you come out on the straightaway with top speed, if you will.
Well, you're throwing people a learning curveball.
Yeah. Screwball. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And we're going for the complete game here. We've got the tricks up our sleeve to say, and where the arm ain't getting tired, you know. We're still bringing the heat.
Yeah. And that's another thing. The more pain you go through, you realize the more of it you can endure. What was his name? Paul Carruthers. He's an activist here in New Zealand. There was this dude called Alan Hubbard. He's kind of like the Bernie Madoff. Not Bernie Madoff. There's some really rich as frack guy in America who lives really frugally, drives a really old car that he bought ages ago or something like that. I forget his name.
But, Sam Walton?
Pardon?
Sam Walton?
Maybe. But anyway, we have a New Zealand equivalent called Alan Hubbard, you know, he's 75 years old, 80, you know, and drives a very small, modest car, lives in the same house that he bought in the 70s, no modern furniture. The only modern thing in his house was his kidney dialysis machine. And he was, he had his massive finance company stolen by the government, and the Prime Minister was involved, Mr. John Key, who used to work, incidentally, for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, and Paul became sort of his advocate, and he suffered really massively during that period when he was trying to stick up for Alan Hubbard, because the media campaign was like, oh, this old Mr. Magoo character, he's so evil, he embezzled all this money. No, he didn't, man. He just had it all stolen off him by the government, who wanted it because he was the one honorable billionaire left in the frickin' country. That's why they did it to him. And Paul said something to me, I'll never forget what he said. You don't know what courage you possess before it is tested. Only afterwards do you realize how courageous you had to be.
That's right. Face the music. I like to tell people that I am not out making millionaires or building billionaires. I'm simply training trillionaires and giving the world abundance. Mm. Why take? It's so much more fun to give.
Mm. I think giving is about sharing, and we're only temporary, and it's like in that movie Avatar. He says, all energy is borrowed, and eventually, one day, you have to give it back.
Yeah. Gotcha. Chi come, chi go. Mm.
Not unlike a brothel.
But no.
Anyway,
I'm a good guy. I never got to do all the fun things out there. I didn't get to go to all the bars, and I didn't go hang out with all my friends, do all the what they call sin things. No, I lived in a vacuum, and it's a lab rat. I'm a nerd.
I don't know. What is the definition of a nerd to your mind, Thunder?
Most of my colleagues.
That's a bash.
Yeah. So, stand up out of the wheelchair, will you?
Yeah. So Hawking, that's
all I'm asking, bro.
It's the epitome, you know.
Wheelchair. I mean, the smartest guy in the world. I can get out of the wheelchair. I know how, but apparently you don't. So go back to teaching. That's what you do best.
Yeah.
Chaos theory, garbage.
Yeah, no, I respect great minds. I mean, of course, you know, but you got to go out and do something with them. I don't respect the mind that created the atomic bomb.
Mm.
I mean, Einstein, what a great waste of a good brain. Let's create a nuclear weapon. I look at I look at brilliant people from a different point of view.
Mm.
If you're brilliant, how are you using your brilliancy? Are you using your brilliancy for your own selfish, or were you given and gifted something that needs to be shared and taught with the rest of the world?
That's it.
And that's where I pride myself in the respect. When I look into the mirror every day, I love me. I'm not narcissist. I love what I'm doing in my life. I love what I'm doing for the planet. And the fuel that gets me there is the knowledge that I receive from above by being a servant of humanity and God.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that interferes with my thought patterns. People can sit there and go, well, Thunder, you know, there's no possible way you can do all this. Mm-hmm. You can't possibly know this stuff. Where do you come from? What difference does it make? It's where I'm going. I'm going up. I'm getting higher. I'm not getting higher. So it's a look at of how the world perceives what others are doing. If someone thinks I'm doing something taboo, tell me. If I'm not, thank me. That's all we do. It's either the lights on or the lights off.
There's no gray.
There's no gray in my world.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you got to have gratitude, and I remember I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, Thunder, and you just reminded me of it. I've been doing this for 5 years, give or take, doing the radio and the full on activism, 7 if you want to get technical about it, and all the time, every day, there are donations that come into my account, and it occurred to me, if that was debt rather than a gift, I would never in 100 years be able to pay it back. And I'm intensely grateful for people's generosity, and I can not pay it back, but I can pay it forward.
Forward.
Yes, exactly.
If people enjoyed this show today, I hope they donate handsomely to you, dude. You deserve it.
Yeah, you do. And it's your gratitude that actually generates that, because you're coming from the heart. You're coming from a love frequency, not from a one-up or anything like that. You're trying to rally. You're trying to unite. You're trying to make people aware and awaken them just through information and communication. We went from the information age. We're now in the wisdom age. What are you going to do with all the info? Are you going to sit on this hot seat, or are you going to activate it?
That's exactly what happened to me. You know, I was watching Alex Jones and YouTube videos and documentaries and all of that kind of stuff, and then I tried to find a New Zealand version of Alex Jones, somebody else who's interviewing all of these great guests and getting their messages out and helping the truth movement and waking people up, blah 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 blah, all of those things that I thought that Alex was doing, and there was nothing. And it occurred to me that it is an onus, it is a moral obligation upon the person who has the realization to fulfill it, to apply that knowledge. I got sick of absorbing knowledge.
Right.
And I wanted to cure that illness by imparting it to others.
Amen, dude. Well said. You got the info, now what are you going to do with it? He's got the info, I've got the info. We're getting it out there. We're sharing through things like this, and that's the payday. It's no good unless you share it. You can die with all the information in your brain, and if it doesn't get out there, it's going to burn your ass up. I guarantee it. Until you get it out there, that's the kickback.
Not unlike a joint.
Like a joint.
It's no good unless you share it, and if you're not paying attention, you'll burn yourself.
Pay it forward. Fire in the hole.
We saw here last week, state of Colorado did $500 million its first day of legalizing marijuana for the state. You know, they taxed it, which was
25%.
Very good. That's, $130 million.
What does that go to? The DEA? So that they can bust more innocent people?
This is one day. What a change in a pendulum versus putting these people away behind bars where they go to prison and smoke pot. So
it made them $500 million instead of costing them $500 million.
Right. A double win. You know, win-win. That's a politician would say. That's a win-win solution. You know, back at you.
You know, I took about 5 pounds of Arizona weed, and I ran it through a cold extraction with an argon. I hit it with an argon generator, and I extracted 6 milliliters of pure THC oil. I took that THC oil and placed it on skin about as much as a rice grain amount. And every person that had skin cancer, within 24 hours, the toxin was absorbed away using the oil.
Yes.
Cannabinoids.
Yeah, the Rick Simpson method, yeah.
So, I mean, I was told in the second grade that if you smoke pot, spiders come running out of the walls and you have scary nightmares everywhere. Well, when the first day I got to college and someone handed me a joint.
Of course,
it
was the first day you went to college.
Not really. I didn't smoke pot until my very first day of college.
Yeah.
My high school, you know, cigarettes, I wouldn't have made the basketball team. It was, you don't, yeah, loser. That's what you would have been considered. When I was 500 miles away from home and, you know, no one knew who I was, I found a big surprise. There were no spiders that came running out of the corners.
A little enlightenment.
Wow, I actually started paying attention better in school. We look at some of the guys like Kersey. Who's the ayahuasca guy over there in England?
David Icke? No?
No.
Ayahuasca is about a 500 on the consciousness.
No, he's a wonderful speaker. Guy, his name skips my bell. I'm sorry. He did a lot of research in ayahuasca and mushrooms and such. Terrence McKenna. That's his name. You know, these gurus did. I've done research in marijuana, and you know what? I conclude that my brain was actually enhanced because. So, am I a bad guy walking? No, I'm not harming, you know, anybody out there. I'm a very healthy person, and I make wonderful decisions based on not being an idiot.
Yeah.
So.
That's why it's illegal, because they want to keep you dumb with alcohol.
Yeah,
they
when I was
in the day and knock you down with booze at night.
Yeah. I think when I was 15, I won the senior speech competition at Waiheke Island High School, right? And I found one of my old diaries from that year, and I used to be a really deep thinking little kid, and I came across one of my passages where it said, "Why are people smoking drugs all the time and drinking? They're just a bunch of idiots." And that perspective hasn't changed. I just drink and smoke a lot more.
You know, there's a place. You know, yeah. So. We're responsible adults. I'm 44 years old. If I want to, you know, fire up a plant that I grew in my backyard in my privacy of my living room, I assume that's why my ancestors went to war.
It's less likely to kill you than basil.
Certainly safer. You know, if Tommy Chong ran for governor of the state of Colorado today, I'm pretty sure he might be elected. He might do such a great job that the rest of the country would consider Tommy Chong for president. I know that's a crazy thing to say, because we watched his movies in the 70s. But now time has went by, imagine that. The hippies were right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that is a good place to wrap it up, gentlemen. This has been a great third hour, the first third hour in Vinnie Eastwood's show history. And I want to thank you profusely. Like, you know, how many languages can you say thank you in? It's like Dankeschön in German, and I think that's about it. And but yeah, it's been great. It's been intense. It's been enlightening. It's I really want some of your shit. Basically, it would be really awesome to have some of that stuff.
It's
on my
nice pack, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, all listeners, email Brad.
Yeah, b-rad@modernhealthcoach.com. That's b-rad@modernhealthcoach.com. Send an email to that address saying...
Cell number.
Oh, send your cell number so we can send you a text.
Yeah. And in the subject matter, write, "I love Vincent Eastwood." I love Vinnie Eastwood.
And it's Vinnie with a Y or something, yeah.
It helps us, you know, we know where, you know, where the leads originate from, and we will handsomely send them a free text message anywhere in the world that is a chemtrail buster. Put this on your phone, and you know, the stuff that falls from the sky will be inert. If you don't believe in that stuff, please don't accept our free offer. We're not going to worry about you in a couple of years anyways, because the chemtrail got you. We're practically real.
Yeah.
Okay. Practical and real.
And what are your websites, one more time for the listeners?
ModernHealthCoach.com, www.modernhealthcoach.com. And you'll find 26 shopping categories that are outrageous. I've done the best of the best. There's a lot on there that you need to self-empower yourself to get over the hump. Check that out. I put a lot into it, and there's a lot of information on there that is free, and there's a lot of products and services that you won't find all in one place. And Thunder?
Some great videos are on there me and Brad have done some videos to go over and explain the products. Any questions, we're happy to always, 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, answer them.
Mm-hmm. We're here for you to get us through this pivotal bottleneck that we're in this world. So let's rally with a little consciousness and enlightenment here.
Mm.
Leave it at that for now.
We love you and thank you.
All right. And also, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to reiterate, as I have the last couple of shows, that I am moving to a new studio that has a spare bedroom. So when activists come to New Zealand from overseas, I will give them bed and board for free, as well as give them studio interviews and what have you. And if they want to learn how to make videos and make radio shows, the Eastwood method, I will teach them that for free as well, so that they will not need me anymore to do it for them. When you are employed, it is a dependent relationship. You have to ask other people for what you do. I am not employed. I have been self-employed for a number of years. However, I understand the important relationship that I have with my listeners. I am very grateful for your donations, and we need about 2,150 New Zealand dollars in order to put up the costs to move into this new studio, and we will be expanding the show, making more happen in many, many ways, and we cannot do that without your help. All of your help so far is much appreciated, and yet more is needed, and it always will be. Thank you very much for listening. God bless. You are the only exception for you.